Hello, everybody, and welcome to the ABF podcast this week. I'm Adam Bakhtir, and this time, it's been a while since I've been in here. Julie is away, so it's been a bit of a revolving door. But always happy to have swing by our deputy chief editor of Digital News, David Bottomley. David, it does feel like I haven't been here for a while.
I barely recognize you.
It's good to be back.
And you know, I have to say that the ABF podcast is positioned as being with you and Julie. But
right.
I think the record shows that I've been on it more often than you.
Let's
two,
put it down
really.
To we feel a bit lonely without your presence, and we'd love having you on the podcast. Anyway, how have you been?
I'm fine, thanks very much. But I'm having mixed feelings about appearing on this podcast, because whenever I come on, I don't get your exorbitant appearance fee. And I know that Julie and yourself, you get big money.
I beg to differ.
I wonder whether part of that is because I don't have an MBA. My business credentials aren't quite good enough to get a little appearance fee. What do you think?
Well, you're in good company, David, because I don't have an MBA either. So there you go.
Okay. Well, maybe we should both get one, and our credentials for the ABF podcast might be a little bit more stellar. But, of course, embarking on a master's degree in business administration is actually a bit of a task. One of the things which puts some people off is the cost. Hmm. A two-year MBA program at a top business school like Harvard would set us both back about $218,000 US, no problem for you on your salary, a bit more challenging for me. That's more than a quarter of a million Singapore dollars. And if you go back to the UK to get an MBA at the London Business School, that would also take a big wodge of cash.
Right.
Even going local, the INSEAD Business School, which is ranked number 2 in the QS Global MBA rankings and has a branch here in Singapore, it's not cheap, you know. And although there are cheaper options, it's not really hugely affordable, because the tuition alone could cost almost $100,000, which,
That's a lot of money.
It's a hefty investment.
That is a lot of money. And just for the record, for everyone listening in, it would still be a struggle on my salary. I'd probably still need to get a student loan. And this speaks to, of course, America's big problem. And according to the Brookings Institution's latest report, they say that the looming student debt default crisis is worse than they originally thought. At nearly $1.4 trillion US in loans outstanding, student debt is now the second largest source of household debt after, of course, housing, and has been growing steadily since the Great Recession of 2008. And the analysis suggests that nearly 40% of borrowers may default on their student loans by 2023. This, according to a report of the Brookings Institution. So, David, you know, the question is, with that overwhelming cost in mind, would you ever want to land yourself in that sort of financial pickle?
If there was a clear return on the investment, I would seriously think about it. But I'm not too sure whether there is a good return on that investment. It's a lot of money, and I wonder whether in this day and age there's more value in experience over a paper qualification.
I tend to agree with you, but then what about other options? I mean, you don't have to go to an Ivy League university, do you? You can go to a lesser-known university, you can do it part-time.
Sure.
You can do it online these days.
Yeah, but even so, if you're going to embark on an MBA and put in the time and the investment, surely you want to get the most prestigious, best gleaming MBA you possibly can. And so, you know, you want to aim high.
No, fair enough. Well, you know, there's in the Financial Times is an article quoting a study done by the London-based education marketing group Carrington Criss. And they surveyed about 1,000 prospective business students, most of them, of course, in the UK. And the respondents basically said that they would rather take up a specialist master's and a degree than an MBA, because, of course, it's faster and cheaper in getting to well-paying job. And in fact, that number of people who felt that way was up 48% compared to the year before.
So does this actually mean that most people think it's not worth getting an MBA, because it's not worth getting an MBA?
I think, I think it depends on, you know, what career path you want to take, or not a career path. Maybe you want to start a business. I mean, how about we put that question to the experts?
Enough of us waffling. Yeah,
exactly.
Let's turn to the experts.
All right. So we're joined in the studio by Nilay Khandelwal, who's the Regional Director of Employment Agency Michael Page Singapore. And we also have the benefit of Kevin Tan joining us today. He's a tech entrepreneur who created the mobile food and beverage ordering app CutQ. Now, you'd think for someone in the tech space and running his own business, you would not have a need for an MBA, Kevin. So why did you decide to pursue an MBA whilst going out on your own to start this tech startup?
Well, thanks for having me on. That's a great question, one that I asked myself before I started the MBA. I actually had the opportunity to meet up with the dean of the NUS Business School at the time. And, you know, I asked him that exact same question. What he told me actually formed the basis of a lot of the way I studied at NUS. So what he told me was that the NUS MBA would actually give me a framework and foundation for good decision-making. Now, as an entrepreneur, you have to make decisions every day, and that would have a long-term impact on your business. The MBA itself would give you a wide breadth on the various aspects of running a business, whether it's in marketing, whether it's accounting, whether it's in, you know, strategy, negotiations. And the good thing is that the NUS MBA itself allows me to take a lot of electives. And when I first started, there was no specialization in entrepreneurship, but there were a lot of courses in entrepreneurship. So I started off and framed my MBA in the way that I wanted to gain value out of it. So with this in mind, I actually got a lot of contacts, met up with a lot of VCs, and actually through the MBA, I was able to meet people who invested in my company eventually.
But would you not have been able to make contacts, especially with VCs, irrespective of whether you're doing an MBA or not? Because, you know, there's a great ecosystem for startups in Singapore now where people are actually proactively looking for investment opportunities. So what was the value add in terms of contacts building from embarking on the MBA?
Well, the great thing is that the lecturers themselves at NUS are angel investors. You know, some of them have run their own funds. One of the lecturers that I've had was one of those that started NUS Enterprise, which is the incubator for a lot of the products and ideas that come out of NUS. So it's in that environment that I actually managed to make a lot of contacts. So it's straight away a very good value add to any entrepreneur.
And Nile, what do you think? You know, are MBAs as relevant today as they were, say, a decade ago or even 20 years ago? And does it matter really where you get the MBA from?
I think what Kevin was mentioning, there was a reason why he joined an MBA, and that remains quite common even today. I think it would be wise to say that the popularity of an MBA has now become different depending on which market you're talking about, which functions and industry that you're talking about. So I think if you look at globally, America becomes a very, very hot spot for the number of MBA grads that come out of that part of the world. And in a lot of job requirements, what we get from our clients in that part of the world, MBA is considered to be a premium education, and it could mean you will get into an organization or you would have a preference of getting into that organization over another candidate who may or may not have an MBA and from which university. Closer home, Asia, Singapore is quite known to be a market whereby caliber and credentials are more important than only the paper qualification. But I think as an entry point, if you were to get into the workforce, it can be a differentiator, whether you're coming from an X university or a Y university. But markets like India, China, MBA becomes a norm in a lot of cases. India, a business that I've run and launched, you know, I had a problem adjusting going from Singapore to India. Every job that we hired in a sales or a marketing function or in banking required an MBA as a prerequisite. I was surprised. I'm not an MBA myself. So I was a little bit shocked that all my staff were tier one MBAs or tier two MBAs. So they have a classification of the MBA systems out there. Wow. So yeah, depending on markets and functions, it becomes important.
You spoke there about how it's potentially a useful tool in getting a foot in the door in certain companies. But what's your sense of what the value is once you are actually within those organizations? You've got the job. Does an MBA fast track you to promotions and bigger salaries? And it actually gives you a good return on investment in that way?
I think it depends on what was the rationale for you to go into an MBA school to begin with. A lot of people go in to network with like-minded individuals. You know, to Kevin's point, not just being in NUS, but going abroad and trying to connect with people, trying to figure out ideas. And a lot of these management courses are about how do you solve a problem or how has someone else solved the problem differently? Because most of the MBAs today are with a work experience in the past. So to answer your question, once you get into an organization, you probably have wider tools that you're choosing from to attack a problem and solve it.
Right. So, Kevin, you were in a big organization. In fact, one of the big four accounting firms. I presume you did not start on your MBA before applying for that job. I mean, so did you feel that your colleagues that did have an MBA had an added advantage over you, or were you in a disadvantage over any of your colleagues that had an MBA?
Well, at the point in time, I had just joined the firm, and I didn't feel that those that had an MBA actually had an advantage, especially at the junior level. I think the work experience does count, especially at the start. The MBA does eventually add value after you had some work experience going in. If you're going in fresh with an MBA, it's just another qualification. Having a reason and purpose going in for an MBA is actually really important.
Mm. Well, speaking of having a reason and purpose, then, you know, you're almost months away from, graduating, getting your MBA, and you've started this tech startup, CutQ. So how has this curriculum helped you in your business?
The reason why I entered the MBA was because I actually saw the modules I wanted to attend. And there were quite a number of interesting ones that I thought might help me. Some of them were in the areas of negotiation. Of course, negotiating term sheets is one of the toughest things you have to do as a startup. Yeah. There's also a course on digital marketing, and you learn how to navigate your way through Google SEOs, you know, how to get you up in the rankings without having to pay. All these tools are actually very practical for any startup.
Nile, does it matter where, you know, the MBA is from for, say, you know, employers in the Asia Pacific region? Do they look for the prestigious names, the Ivy Leagues of the United States that seem to be quite important over there? I mean, you mentioned that in the US, MBAs are very popular, and specifically with employers as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think if I look at the investment banking and the private equity sector, the demand is for Ivy Leagues, whoever considers MBA to be a way of entering an associate program in those parts of the world. Management consulting, we do still see that flavor very prominent in Asia-Pac across the board.
So basically, David, if you and I were to pursue this MBA, we'd have to pack our bags and leave for the US.
I think, and if we get a nice scholarship, then I'm quite happy to do that. Nile, you obviously deal with a lot of companies who are looking to recruit. Are you getting loads of companies who are saying that they want MBAs as a prerequisite? Or is that just a nice-to-have type of qualification in this part of the world?
Yeah, as I said, depending on the market and depending on the industry, we do have demands. Banking remains one of those segments where we do have demands. Mm. But in general, whenever we look at general management roles or senior leadership roles, a preference does come in if you have an MBA over a candidate who may not have one. And it's merely to do with the fact that you have a broader understanding of a subject, you have met and you have links with other predominantly the same level of people in other companies and in other industries, which can help you in times of needs.
Mm. Kevin, I hope you don't mind me asking, but we were debating the relevance and also the cost and where you get your bang for your buck with MBAs, right? I mean, an Ivy League MBA costs, as David said, up to 220,000 US. That's almost, I don't know, 280,000 Sing dollars. That sounds like a lot of money. Can I ask, why did you decide to pursue your MBA, say, with NUS? I mean, I presume it's a lot more affordable than, say, packing your bags and going over to the US to an Ivy League.
Well, definitely being a local over here and studying in a local school, I don't need to worry about the additional living costs associated with studying overseas. The NUS MBA also is pretty flexible in a sense that they present a lot of opportunities to potential students in the form of scholarships. So I myself am a recipient of a local scholarship, which meant that I needed to continuously be upgrading my skill set even after my undergrad. So there are a lot of options out there, especially for those who are local Singaporeans. And a lot of times I find that companies are actually willing to upgrade their own staff with the skills of an MBA. And half of my classmates actually are from company-sponsored programs. So the cost then becomes actually quite affordable for most.
Do you find it challenging? I mean, you're juggling, your tech startup CutQ and also pursuing this MBA program, which I believe is 3 years. It must be a lot to handle.
Well, the part-time program actually grants you the flexibility to choose your modules each semester. So if you know that you're going to be busy during a certain period, you add on more time for yourself. Whereas if you have, let's say, lesser commitments during that period, you can take on more modules. Yeah, go ahead and do that. So you just have a limited time frame to complete the MBA, but you don't have to complete it within 3 years and stress yourself out. So I chose to actually take a bit of a moderate path to finish it within 3 years.
Just to pick up on something which you spoke about how the NUS MBA seemed to play to the requirements which you were looking for from such a qualification. You mentioned some of the course modules, looking at negotiation, digital marketing, that kind of thing. Clearly, there is a difference between looking at these things in the academic context and actually in the real business world. And I'm just curious as to whether those academic lessons were actually transferable to real-world scenarios.
Well, yes, definitely. For example, for digital marketing, the instructor, the professor, he actually told us, okay, all of you go onto your laptops now, key in any website in the world, including your own if you have one. And then all the tools and resources he gives to you, you can actually see it translate to, let's say, oh, your web page is loading, you know, 5 seconds slower. Okay, now, guys, this is what you need to do to optimize your website. So it's actually very hands-on as opposed to theoretical. And that really just comes with the type of modules you go into. So, for example, I went into design thinking. How do you break down a problem? How do you find the root cause of the issue? Now, these are a bit more theoretical. So these generally give you a different skill set, but there are others that really make it very hands-on.
Okay. Nile, you know, is it the case in with employers that if you're, you know, applied for a job or you've advertised for a job and you've got all these recruits sending in their CVs and some, you know, some are sending in, I've got a master's, I've got an MBA, I've got a double degree. Does it really come down to that in terms of, can you differentiate between the level of qualifications and the level of pay that people are getting? Because at the end of the day, does it not come down to, you know, how that individual is going to be best fit for the job at hand and may not necessarily have anything to do with the qualifications that they've acquired?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, yes. A lot of times you might have all the degrees in the world, but you might not perform in the interview and that's the end of it. It depends on what the job requirement is. So if you're suited as a master's or an MBA to that particular role, you are pretty much in the role. Of late, what we've also seen a trend is masters are becoming even more popular with the kind of jobs that are coming into Asia as a market, Singapore specifically. The kind of jobs that are coming in are becoming more tech savvy. They are becoming more technical in nature. High-end R&Ds are coming into Singapore as a market. So for all these roles, even in management positions, their preference is more on masters in science, masters in a particular engineering field or a PhD than an MBA per se. So I think it's evolving as we go along in Asia Pac as an industry. So yeah, that is also one of the things that is coming in.
So fundamentally, what you're saying is that the survey, which was basically taken in the UK by Carrington Crisp, which suggested that master's degrees are gaining more popularity, specialist masters, are perhaps a more popular, more practical way of getting that high-paying, tip-top job.
Yeah, I think the demand-supply is always the economics of whether you get a high-paying job or not. And today, we have the challenge whereby there's quite a number of specialist areas where we don't have candidates, and the local universities are adapting to courses in those areas now to make sure that we get a pool coming in. But at this point of time, we are looking at every part of the world.
Is that potentially a risk, though, that a specialist master's degree may be very relevant now, but in 10 years' time, the skills which were acquired in that process may be less relevant, whereas an MBA gives you a much wider breadth of studies which may have a longer-term value?
At the end of the day, it will all depend on how an individual wants to fit in to the change that is happening around us. What we thought it was 3 years ago, a lot have changed now. So adaptability, changing your focus, whether it's MBA or a master's or a PhD, maybe someone will talk about we don't need any of this and you just be a bachelor's and you're fine.
Well, let's ask the man who has some practical experience. Okay, what do you think? I mean, what do you think is going to be more relevant? I mean, you're in the tech space right now. You've been in management. You know, as we look ahead, as the global economy becomes more digitized, you know, what would be more relevant? An MBA, a master's, none of the above? I'm sure it's none of the above.
Well, I think at the end of the day, organizations will always exist in a certain structure where you will have people who are your coders, your developers, you will have your finance and accounting functions, you will have people who are selling the business, negotiating, getting sales deals done. You know, even if you have an MBA, technically you are specializing in a certain skill set as well. Generally, people would seek advice from people with MBAs because of their wide breadth of knowledge. Mm-hmm. You would go to a developer for, of course, your coding and whatnot. So I think every single role and paper that you mentioned that you can obtain does have a function within the world.
Yeah, okay. I mean, experience is paramount, right? I mean, any qualification is going to be good. But I'm just curious, you know, if you were to rewind now, and as Nilay just pointed out, masters, specialist masters are getting, of course, a lot more becoming a lot more popular, as the survey suggested, the Carrington Crisp survey. Would you consider, maybe, had you rewind the clock, to do a master's instead of an MBA?
No, I would stick with the MBA.
Okay, an additional question. Let's assume CutQ is going to grow and grow and grow.
Well, I hope so.
Well, I hope so too. Yeah, but let's say in 5 years' time, you're looking to recruit some new leaders for the company. What are you going to pay more attention to? Somebody who's fresh out of business school, who's got a good MBA, or somebody who's got 10 years' experience in the industry in which CutQ operates?
Well, it depends on the role that we're hiring for. Obviously, if we want to do something along the lines of development work, we look for someone with the relevant skill set. Now, if we're looking for someone who wants to grow the business, let's say take it overseas, then definitely, you know, someone with a world view, someone who had studied overseas, for example, in that particular country where we're looking to expand towards would be a boon.
All right. Nilay, you know, for the benefit of David and I, who don't have MBAs or masters or double degrees, not to just suggest that, you know, we're not intelligent enough, but what would be your recommendations to job seekers out there that didn't have any of this, and if they wanted to, you know, make their CVs stand out to employers? Come down to the interview, I mean, at the end of the day.
True. But yeah, before the interview process, there is a filtering that happens at the CV stage, right? As long as individuals with the changing economy have got appreciation for the tech world and they are upskilling themselves on a regular basis, whether it's in a technical area, whether it's in a general management area, the room for upgrading is much higher and the demand for upgrading is much higher as years goes by. As long as they're doing that, they'll be fine. Otherwise, some of those roles will become obsolete in the market and it will go to other parts of the world. So if you're going to keep up with the pace, you've got to keep on upgrading to the current trend or the future trends coming up. And tech appreciation remains very, very high.
Okay. Well, interesting stuff. Yeah. I'm not entirely convinced I'm going to embark on that MBA, you know. If only because I'm not really in an industry where an MBA really counts for that much. I quite like the idea of doing a specialist master's degree in something, though. What about you, Adam?
Yeah, I agree with you, actually. I'm in the same industry as you, pretty much. Yep. We're in the media industry, so I'm not sure whether an MBA is relevant unless we were actually going to be running the organization.
Indeed.
You know, we're not going to be doing anytime soon. But
that's true. Anyway, thanks to both of this week's guests, Nilay Khandelwal, Regional Director of Michael Page Singapore, and Kevin Tan, MBA student and the entrepreneur behind the food and beverage ordering app CutQ.
Yeah, thank you, gentlemen. Well, still to come this week, it's going to be a big week. China's NPC is drawing to a close, and on Tuesday at 9 a.m., President Xi Jinping is going to be speaking after the votes in the various reports and budgets. We are going to be taking that live and adding context with our reporters on the ground in Beijing. And on the next day, we've got a mini WTO meeting in Mumbai. And this should be fairly interesting in the context of the potential trade wars, as Donald Trump has slapped tariffs on steel and aluminium products. And we've also got the probe on intellectual property coming up. So 40 member countries are attending this meeting, except the US, of course. So all that and more is going to be coming up on Asia Business First. Make sure you tune in for that at 9 a.m. Singapore, Hong Kong time on Channel News Asia. And you can also watch it online and channelnewsasia.com under the video on demand section. And if you've got any pressing questions, you just want to get in touch, have a conversation, I'm on Facebook and also Twitter. My handle's at Adam Bhaktiar, CNA.
Yeah, I don't have a handle, but maybe I should, especially as I think you're away next week as well.
So
it's going to be me and
on.
Julie. So it's a bit more of the David show.
So they need to get in contact with you.
Yes.
Get your Twitter handle sorted.
Anyway, thanks very much for your company and tune in again next week.
See you again. Bye-bye.